Blessed be the darkness, the vast expansion, the all-encompassing, all-surrounding womb of space. Blessed be the light, the penetrating point, the all-focusing, all-aligning core of creation. Blessed be the blade that divides the darkness from the light, thus generating duality, and from duality is all substance formed. The cleansing by water, the purity of salt, combining together, so merged we exalt. By the blade that separates the darkness from the light, the babe from the mother, and the world of the living from the realms beyond, I conjure this circle as a sacred place, shifting the confines of time and space, an island apart and a fortress between yesterday's sorrow and tomorrow's dream. Blessed be the vessel wherein the divided may unite. Welcome to the seventh episode of the Covening Podcast. I am your host, Lady Sitara. In the last episode, I presented an overview of the Windblown Degree System and most of the details of the Dedicate Checklist, which needs to be completed prior to initiation. In this podcast, we will complete the Dedicate Checklist by providing information about the required memorization, and then we will proceed to the first degree initiation, also called initiation. There are two more items in our Dedicate Checklist. One is required memorization. Required memorization functions in the aligning of the maps of consciousness that coveners share and that the traditional initiates share, because some of the required memorization is purely windblown and was written by me, and some of it was passed down to me by my elders in the craft. If someone claims to be an initiate of a particular tradition, they can be identified by which of the many varied spells, rhymes, or rites they were required to memorize. You would be able to say one line to them, and they would answer with the next. In addition to several short poems, you will be required to memorize the elemental and planetary correspondences. We use the same correspondence tables as the Golden Dawn. We do this not because we think it is the only one right way, but because it is a good way, and most commonly used in witches' covens. If the world blows up tomorrow and you survive, and the rest of your coven does not, or if you relocate your home, and you find another witch's coven, most likely they will be using the same correspondences. The elemental correspondences are for the five elements, earth, air, fire, water, and the fifth element, sometimes called Akasha, sometimes called spirit. Most, but not all, Wiccan covens will associate the colors, the directions, the seasons, the time of day. If you like to work with elemental spirits, they are named gnomes, sylphs, salamanders, and undines. You should also know which magical tool and which of your five senses correspond to which element. I'm assuming you can look these up. In the planetary correspondences, we are most concerned with the sun, moon, and the five nearest planets to the earth, the ones that correspond to the days of the week. Their characteristics of vitality, change, victory, communication, justice, love, and wisdom, as well as other correspondences, should also be memorized. Expect your elders to quiz you verbally on these correspondences, as well as the other required memorization. About those poems, I'm not going to present the ones I did not write, but I will give you enough information to find them in books or online. Darksome Night and Shining Moon. This one is tricky because there are two versions of it. One version was published by Stuart Ferrer on page 20 of What Witches Do, published in 1971, and the other one was published by Lady Sheba in 1972 and 1974 on page 153 of her grimoire. And the biggest difference between the two is the rhyming scheme. The controversy about who actually had rights to this rhyme has caused one to be considered the legitimate version and one to be considered the illegitimate version by traditionalists. Lady Sheba published two popular books on witchcraft, possibly three, and it was claimed that the published contents violated both oath and copyright, which is why I have found many of the verses I was required to memorize in both her books. Please use the Stuart Ferrer, last name is spelled Ferrar, but it's pronounced Ferrer, version for your memorization. The second line of that one is, east, then south, then west, then north. The Hittites. Ha ha, I told you, you would hear from me again about Hittites. They had a policy of signing their documents. That is how we know that among the Hittites, girls as well as boys, and from among the common folk as well as the gentry, were taught to read and write. They signed the documents they authored. The downside of writing something and pretending that it is ancient and traditional is that other people can also claim it was passed down in their own family. In some cases, parts of the piece may have been old and passed down, but we can still provide information such as updated and adapted by, and then the rewriter's name. I have found, and will be sharing with you at some point, possibly the original quarter calling, possibly the original lesser banishing ritual of the pentagram, and possibly the original charge and drawing down of the goddess, all in ancient Mesopotamian texts, although not in the same place, nor from the same source, nor from the same era. Another poem we memorize begins, "Answer us, O ancient horned one." This one has also been printed in multiple sources, including on page 161 of the Grimoire of Lady Sheba. People have told me that I am constantly name-dropping names of big-name pagans that I have met or known, and that may be true, but there are others who I never had the opportunity to meet, and that I am sad about. I never met Lady Sheba, and there are many rumors about her that I can neither deny nor corroborate. It is said that in addition to being an oathbreaker, publishing other people's works and claiming them as having been passed down through her family line, that she also wanted to be the acknowledged witch queen of the USA and wanted all covens to send her their books of shadows so she could authenticate them. I can just imagine what she would do with all that previously unpublished material that people were claiming was traditional. I'm sure she would find some of it passed down by her own family in some forgotten book in a trunk somewhere and ripe for the publishing. We have a name for people who want to assume authority over groups they did not foster, claim authorship of other people's writing, or claim they have the rights to either sex and or money by virtue of the exalted position they have assigned to themselves. The polite version is that we call them empire builders. They are generally despised by most of the witch and pagan community, but there is always a new sucker born every minute. I have known two of them in the Pacific Northwest, and they were both men who had some predatory sexual habits around younger women and managed to make camaraderie among men. But that kind can take all forms. Those kinds are everywhere, and it is good to keep a lookout for them. What they are after is usually sex, money, fame, popularity, being acknowledged as an authority, and degrading others who challenge them. You can encounter people like that in any social situation. It is certainly not limited to covens nor the witchcraft community, but it is important to realize that we are not immune to having them. Another poem for required memorization has 26 couplets, one of which is, "Merry meet and merry part, bright the cheeks and warm the heart." The way I test memorization of that one is by reciting either the first or second part of each couplet and having the covener respond with the matching part. I do not require them to memorize the 26 couplets in order. That rhyme was first published by Lady Gwen Thompson in Green Egg either in the late 1960s or early 1970s. Another chant Windblown Dedicates memorize is Echo Echo Azarac, or pronounced Eco Eco Azarac. Thanks to Lady Zilana, we have a tune for that and it makes it easier. Look for this one on page 124 of Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Hewson. And now you will hear the Wiccan code, which you have never heard before because I wrote it. Get your pens ready. Mother of life and horned lord, reveal the mystery. To know ourselves and nature's way, to reach for ecstasy. Those we take in who answer the call, those who stay out, no matter. Our pagan kinfolk we prefer, but Wicca is not for all. Moons and Sabbaths 8 we heed to join the circle right. Mirth and reverence, Wiccan creed, merriment through the night. One single solitary witch alone, two a couple be then, though 6 to 16 number well, still 3 becomes a coven. Wise and well we wield the spell, careful in our casting. Bless before banishing, banish before binding, always bind before blasting. Thrice the magic wheels around, reverberations reverse, as blessed, so blessed, as bound, so bound, risky be the curse. Lord and lady blessed be, in love and trust and honesty, 8 words the Wiccan reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will. May our lives be full and sweet, till on the other side we meet, another lifetime will begin, we'll meet and know and love again. Our laws shall not be frozen in stone, nor book, nor page, for circumstance, mode, and custom change with every age. If you are preparing to become a Windblown initiate, you will need to memorize the Wiccan code in sequence and be able to expound on the meaning of each stanza and the significance of the order and perhaps rhyming scheme of the stanzas. For example, the first stanza is the most important because it lays the fundamentals of Wicca according to the Windblown perspective. Witchcraft is a religion that recognizes at least one primary mother goddess and at least one primary god of nature. It is a mystery religion as well as an ecstatic one. I will let you ponder this on your own time because we have much to cover today. The final item in the dedicate checklist is completed by your elders. In the bottom section, they make notes of any conflicts, doubts, or comments they have about your participation in Circle, your connections to or conflicts with other coveners, their feelings about your motives. After your initiation, in addition to your tools being returned, you will also receive a copy of your completed checklist, more study material, and probably some gifts. Your checklists are not secret, but they are confidential. You can view your own at any time. If you want to view someone else's, you need that person's permission. For those of you who are leaders, the gifts can be magical tools, especially if a covener has indicated that a particular tool they own is a temporary stand-in because they don't have the right one yet. Our Sabbath cake recipe is also a gift, as is the pan to cook it in, and their first-degree cord may also be a gift. For first- and second-degree cords, the Windblown rule is that any solid color that is not already designated for a different special purpose will do, but each coven has the option to designate its own colors. Most of my covens used either white or silver for dedicate and green for first degree. There are additional preparations for initiation, such as fasting and meditation for several days just prior to initiation. The fasting is normally a juice fast, but it may be modified into a specific cleansing diet if juice fasting is medically inadvisable. If you are an elder, you will need a very large container filled halfway with kosher or coarse salt for purifying the dedicate's tools prior to initiation. Jew witches use kosher. This is my first mention of Jew witches, but you will hear more about that from me in the future, just as you will hear more from me about Hittites. It is acceptable for the container itself to be plastic. The reason you are filling it halfway is not only because the tools themselves will be displacing the salt, but also because when you dig the tools out of the salt, they will spill salt onto whatever is under them, and it is better to hold them over the container and brush the salt off before you place them on the altar or floor. Elders do an enormous amount of preparation for initiations. In addition to the vat of salt, and inevitably there will be some tool that will require a separate dedicated container, either because of the size, shape, or fragility, elders will wrap any corrodible tool in cloth prior to placing it in the salt. There are special formulas, waters of forgetfulness, waters of remembrance, the initiation bath oil, the anointing oil, the initiation incense. Elders also need to assemble and prepare the gifts for the initiate, which will need to be inside the circle, and printed copies of the oath containing the list of God names, the candles, the salt, the water, and cords that are used for taking the measure, the towel that the initiate will use to dry off, the Sabbath cake needs to be baked prior to initiation, and the post-initiation meal needs to be prepared so that it is ready. Let us address the oath of initiation because it is important for you, the dedicate, to know in advance what you are getting into. There are reasons why I am not going to be presenting the exact oath in this podcast, but I will ensure that you have enough information so that you can write a similar one. First, the oath is sworn to the gods, all the gods that the dedicate recognizes, the coven elders and the covener themselves, and the coven mates. Prior to initiation, the dedicate must share with their elders all the names they might currently or in the knowable future use for divinity, and those names will be printed onto their oaths and recited with their oath during initiation. In some cases, that list has significant length. We begin the oath by addressing the long list of gods, swearing to keep them in our heart and striving to know and follow in their ways. Then the oath continues, with the dedicate dedicating themselves, body, mind, and spirit, to serving the gods and striving for justice and honor among people. The oath continues with vows to protect, and here I will omit some details. You should decide what a witch in your coven should vow to protect, and vows to use the knowledge gained from their craft with wisdom and discretion. Again, I need to omit some details. You should decide what it means to use magic or coven-specific or tradition-specific knowledge with wisdom and discretion. You might want to include some detail. This passage may also indicate what it is that should not be done under any circumstances. And the final part of this oath is what would be justifiable karmic retribution if the dedicate breaches this oath, which should, of course, include loss of magical abilities and some form of self-binding, as well as some form of rejection from the coven relationships. The reason I am not providing the exact wording of this oath or oaths is to avoid misuse by an outsider looking to game or manipulate the system. Also, because Windblown uses an oath very similar to other traditional oaths, and I have respect for the right of those traditions to keep their exact wording secret. Time for another story. Once upon a time, in a land far, far away, a notorious murderer was either a Freemason himself or had studied Freemasonry extensively. He was brought to trial before a judge who was a Freemason, and that was not common knowledge, but somehow the murderer had found out. Throughout his trial, this murderer repeatedly signaled to the judge that he was a brother Freemason in peril and in need of assistance. The judge, who did the right thing and ignored the signals from the murderer, was nevertheless shaken up by the conflict between his oath to the Freemason Brotherhood and his oath to uphold the law. I am mentioning this because we want to try to prevent putting our coveners in an uncomfortable position of feeling like they need to protect someone who they know has done something seriously wrong. In general, Wicca does not attract criminals, but people who are predatory criminals will use any tool they can find to enhance their criminality, collect victims, and evade accountability. I personally have known people who were predators who used Wicca as an excuse, a shield, and a method of collecting victims. I have also known people who had done things in their past for which they were ashamed and repentant, who leveraged their Wiccan spirituality to help them stay within the better boundaries they had set for themselves, and they did that successfully. Sometimes it can be very difficult to judge which type you are meeting. I tend to give people the benefit of the doubt, but then watch them very carefully. And this is one of the reasons for the year and the day minimum requirement before initiation. As an elder, you want to avoid creating a coven that contains a member who will take undue advantage of the other members, either monetarily or sexually or in any other way. It might happen in spite of your best intentions, but the best way to guard against it is to understand that it is possible and be vigilant. Windblown initiations are performed during the first quarter waxing moon. Certain details of the initiation rites need to be kept confidential. When I had my own initiations, some parts that I expected happened, but differently than what I expected. Some parts that I expected didn't happen at all, and other things happened that I wasn't expecting. I think this is as it should be. To a certain extent, you need to let go of expectations and trust that what is going to happen will be what is right for you. You have completed your checklist and review with your elders. They have agreed that you have fulfilled the requirements for the initiation. You have fasted or been on an assigned diet for at least 3 days. You have ceased or reduced all your normal activity for the last 3 days and spent as much time as possible meditating. The day for your initiation has arrived. Today is a lunar first quarter day. Your stomach is growling and is somewhat aflutter because you do not know everything that will happen today, and you know how vulnerable you will be. You will be sky-clad, as in naked, for all or most of the initiation, and you will be a little weak from your fast, and you will be blindfolded and bound. All phones, and perhaps electricity, are turned off in the covenstead. A warm bath has been prepared for you, and you can smell the oils in the water. You get into the warm bath and wait and meditate. If the water gets cold, you are permitted to drain out some of the colder water and add some warmer water to stay warm. In Windblown, you are given a cup of the waters of forgetfulness before you enter the purification bath. The waters of forgetfulness are familiar to you because you were first given a cup of them at the underworld ritual at Hallows. As Lord Mikael reminds us, no one forgets the waters of forgetfulness. In the next room, the circle space, the elders are preparing for the ritual. There is a special incense that is used only for initiations. They are burning that. They have drawn the circle and called the quarters as per their usual methods. you will be brought in through the cut hole in the circle. Windblown uses a format in its initiations that follows most of the practices as performed by very traditional covens, and I will not be presenting all of the details for reasons I have already stated. We do this so that windblown initiates may be recognized by more strict traditions as being educated in a compatible reciprocal form. The elders come for you. They help you out of the bathtub. They help to dry you off. They blindfold you, and they take your measure. They bind your wrists behind your back and your ankles. Your wrists and ankles are bound loosely. You can still take small steps, and your shoulders are not stressed by the wrist binding. The elders help you to walk to the outer perimeter of the circle. One elder has entered the circle ahead of you, and the other is standing next to you. You feel the tip of a blade in the middle of your chest. There are some specific words that are spoken at this part of the initiation, also called the challenge. I'll provide an equivalent substitute here. During this entire challenge, the point of the blade remains on the dedicate's chest. The elder inside the circle holds the athame to the dedicate's chest and asks, "Who are you and why are you here?" The dedicate responds, "I am your magical name here, and I have come to be initiated into the old religion and to join the coven of your coven name here." "What have you done to prepare yourself for initiation?" "I have been purified by water and salt. I have fasted and meditated for 3 days. I have learned and agreed to the laws of the craft and the laws of the coven. I have learned the elemental and planetary correspondences. But most importantly, I have worshipped the great goddess and the horned god with my fellow coveners for 1 year and 1 day. And then the challenger asks, "Are you sure you want to enter this circle and be initiated?" "Yes, I am sure." "Are you very sure you want to enter this circle and be initiated?" "Yes, I am certain." "Are you very, very certain you want to enter this circle and be initiated? For once you make that decision, you cannot turn back, and you will be a witch, not only in this lifetime, but for all lifetimes to come. And you must enter this circle without fear." "I will enter the circle with these passwords." Provide passwords here. Now the blade is no longer at the dedicate's chest, and to match those two passwords, I give you a third. The dedicate is turned around and nudged into the circle backwards. Once inside the circle, the opening in the circle is sealed with the evoking earth pentagram. The blindfold is removed, and the dedicate can see that everyone in the circle is skyclad. The high priestess and high priest are present, and possibly other initiated coven members. One of the elders takes out several pieces of paper, including 4 copies of the Oath of Initiation, with all the names of all the gods that the dedicate recognizes, as well as the coven god names printed on it, and a sterile diabetic lance. One of the elders reads each line of the oath and has the dedicate repeat it back. The oath ends with, "So mote it be." The binding on the dedicate's wrists and ankles are removed. The dedicate signs each of the 4 copies of the oath, and the diabetic lance is used to pierce their finger so that each copy gets a drop of the dedicate's blood. One of those copies will now be burned in this circle to send to the gods. 1 copy goes to each elder to keep, and 1 copy is returned to the initiate. We use the windblown invocation of the Dark Goddess, and during the charge of the Dark Goddess, the Crone Goddess is transformed into the Maiden Goddess. The Maiden Goddess then invokes the Horned God. The Maiden Goddess and the Horned God bless the initiation of the Covenor, the wine and cakes. The wine has a special formula called the Waters of Remembrance. Unlike the waters of forgetfulness, this will be the first time the initiate drinks the waters of remembrance. While the initiate partakes of wine and cakes, the maiden goddess then reveals the mysteries by reading from a paper scroll that says some things that you have already heard on this podcast and a few things that you have not. While the maiden goddess is reading from the scroll of mysteries, the horn god attends to the initiate's tools that have been removed from the vat of salt where they have been buried for the last month. The ones that are made of metal or might in some way be damaged by exposure to salt have been wrapped in cloth, and those need to be unwrapped. Each tool and gift is then passed through the four elements and set aside to be returned to the initiate at the end of the ceremony. Then the horned god and the maiden goddess stand on either side of the initiate and bring the initiate to the northern perimeter of the circle. They present the new covenant by magical name to the elemental forces of earth. Hail to the directors of the north and the spirits of elemental earth. I present to you initiate magical name here, who is now a properly initiated witch of the old religion and member of the coven, coven name here. Hear the voice of our new initiate, that you may heed their call. And the initiate says, Hail to the directors of the north and the spirits of elemental earth. I am your magical name here. This procedure is repeated for each of the four elements. At this point, the Akashic record is opened or open, and the initiate's name has been entered. The oracle may be consulted. If the initiate is in distress from hunger and the intensity of the ritual, they can now be cut out of the circle, permitted to clothe themselves, and eat the post-initiation meal. If the initiate is not in distress, you can all follow standard protocols for releasing the quarters and dispersing the circle. Sometime during or after initiation, if you have not already shared with your covener your coven images of what happens on the astral during your rituals, now would be a good time to do so. Within all coven ritual, the person or persons who evoke and release the quarters should be knowledgeable of the shared coven images. And now that you have an initiated covener, or another initiated covener, it is time for them to take a more active role in the rituals. This concludes the 7th episode of the Covening Podcast. If you have been following all along from the beginning, we now have a complete full moon ritual, a complete dark moon ritual, we have performed our first magic in circle, we have shared our first sabbat in bulk, we have learned an overview of the windblown degree system and checklists. We have examined the dedicate checklist in detail, and we have an initiation rite so that, if we have a group of 3 or more people, we can begin initiating each other, or at least preparing each other for initiation. And I have a confession to make. I'm not sure what I'm going to present to you next week. We have been going through the essentials as quickly as I can manage, and I might want to do something different next episode. I'm going to do some deep meditation, and you won't know till next week, so it will be a surprise. Thank you all for joining me. Please tune in next week. Blessed be. By the blade that cleaves the darkness and light, the babe from the mother, and the world of the living from the realms beyond, I carve a tunnel to the mortal realm. As common persons, we are masked until the circle be recast. Sacred ground remain unseen. Silence rules the worlds between. Till next we answer magic's call and meet together, witches all.